Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Jamal on my block. Everybody kept ignoring him, and he ended up having like the coolest side story with the grandma. But like high key, like I think he was totally queer.
I think so too. Like he had no general interest in like girls or anything masculine. But yeah. That doesn't mean he's queer.
I was
maybe
thinking
more queer. Like maybe genderqueer.
Maybe I think the reason I read it as queer, well, for one, the not being interested in women thing and being overly, because you know what I mean, like the other two guys, that's all they really cared about.
All they cared about was girls.
But this kid is just like,
I want to hang out with the abuela.
he's like low key a nerd and like really into like mystery. I don't know. Like he just reminded me of me as a kid.
Maybe he's like ace. You know.
Who knows? Yeah, that's queer too. Count it.
He's part of the community.
Yeah.
What up, cabrona? What's poppin', chingona? Where are you right now, girl?
I'm here in the flesh. I'm trying to hold steady with my outfit, with my flannel, with like layers that I came to hot ass Texas in. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to fucking sweat because this outfit is too fly.
It is. And guess what? I can tell we're both lesbians.
We like vagina.
Also that. And we're also both wearing flannel in summer in Texas and no fucks are given.
And we both wear flannels like without coordinating.
Yeah, we didn't do this on purpose, guys. She got off a flight and was dressed like this, and I picked her up, and I was also dressed like this. And it was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Typical lesbians.
You might have peeped this if you follow us on Instagram, CYC Podcast. Shameless plug.
Follow us.
Yeah, this is probably the first time in, I don't know, the entire year that we've been doing this that we actually record an episode the day before it comes out.
Yeah, and actually right next to each other, too. Like this is like a first.
You know, that happens.
This is
a sometimes.
First. This never happened. Never happened before.
We've recorded together before, which means is we've never like recorded and posted it right away.
Fuck,
so it's
no.
Exciting, and it is a special occasion.
Yes, it
Did
is.
You know? Did you
oh
know
my
it
god!
Is a special occasion?
It's our friendiversary.
It's not our friendiversary. It's our podiversary.
Podiversary, friendiversary. I don't even know what day it is. So you're right.
So June technically our. And 1 year anniversary from the first time that we posted an episode was June 4th, and that's in about 5 days. But I'll be on a plane that day.
Yeah.
So we're celebrating right now.
Yes.
And we're probably going to be celebrating, if you're in Dallas, we're going to be in Deep Elm. I'm going to be in Deep Elm on Saturday night. I'm going to drag Cynthia with me.
She's going to make me be social, you guys.
Yeah. So head over there if you want to hang out with us and celebrate our 1 year with us here in Dallas.
Yes. Come drink. Well, come drink with me.
I'll egg you on and be like, you drink, girl, and then make sure you get home safely.
Mike is doing this thing where she doesn't drink, so
it's
everyone
stupid.
Support her in her goals, okay? Don't let her drink.
Yes.
Or buy her a drink, because that's the loophole, guys. If you buy her a drink, she can.
I haven't decided if that's a loophole or not. We're gonna see.
Okay, all right. Okay, no pressure, guys, but you can buy me a drink too.
Okay, well, anywho,
yeah,
we have
been here.
Sorry?
It's been a year.
It's been almost a year of us existing. And fucking shit. I have no words. Like, it just
hit
me a little bit.
Can you believe it, though?
Can you believe? Hello, Queer Eye fans. It's coming back this summer.
One of my favorite memes of all time.
So good.
But yeah.
So I do want to, like, in De Colores fashion, I want to, like, do our version of the juice, which is us talking about shows that are coming back and that are coming soon to our television screens and maybe films. I don't know, we'll see.
Maybe
I think
films.
We're just gonna talk about TV. But there's some, you know, a lot of pilots that got picked up by shows, and we've gotten some trailers, and I'm really excited about at least a few of them, and I want to talk about it. So do you want to hear about it?
Yeah, I'm I know there's like, I don't want to ruin one of them for you, but I'm super hype on the Latino cast of Charmed.
Oh, I saw that trailer.
It's like Afro-Latinos, light-skinned Latinos. I was like, what is happening? I fuck with Charmed. That
Every
was like my
shade
shit
around.
When I was little.
Yeah, I loved Charmed so much. And like one thing that I just never stopped thinking about is how a few years ago the showrunner, or a former the former showrunner of the old show, called herself out and was like, yo, Charm was in San Francisco, but there was no gay people.
Word.
So now it's coming back, not only with three Latina sisters, but one of them is openly queer, as far as I know. Queer, as far as I know.
Just queer, yes.
So I'm really excited about that. And then plus, I like that actress. She was in The 100. We won't talk about that, but she was in that. Okay. She was in this new show called Room something 04 or something like that. She's a really good actress. So I'm actually really excited to see her and her portrayal of a queer character.
That's going to be lit. I'm into it. I mean, there was a lot of controversy. They were talking about whether or not, like, they wanted to impose a queer character because they said they just did it to do it. Mm-hmm. There was, like, some rumor going around that they
same shit with the race thing, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, they feel like they just did the Latino thing to do it.
Like a token queer Latino character. Yeah, yeah.
Towards everything, we kind of have to, you know, cautiously step forward and into it. You know what I mean? I didn't love the trailer.
No.
Maybe unpopular opinion, but I didn't love it. I also think that it's not fair to just be like, it's going to suck. Mm-hmm. Because it's a trailer and it's a pilot episode, and
it's a lot of pressure to put on it,
right? And the way I always think of it, Parks and Rec and Supernatural season one sucked.
Facts.
Now, facts. Two of the most popular shows.
Yeah. So I like the first couple episodes of Parks and Rec, I was like, what the fuck is happening? The first entire season.
Like, honestly. But those are two shows that are very popular now. So I'm definitely going to give it a shot.
Cool. What's another one?
Another one that's new is Roswell.
Okay.
It's technically a remake as well.
Yes. Also a remake. I was about to say that.
Yeah. But I'm excited about it too. I think pretty recently, you know, we were talking about Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
And how they got rid of the DACA, or like the undocumented doctor. And I was upset about it. And I was like, where the fuck did she go? I knew there had to be a reason that she would leave Grey's Anatomy. And she's the lead in Roswell now.
What? Okay. Do you remember the original Roswell?
I never watched it.
That was like the hottest. Like, I was 7 and totally had a crush on that main lead girl. She was like a brunette. She looked Latina, and that was good enough for me.
But this time it's actual one.
Do they have a real one? A light skin,
but she seems like a pretty good actress.
I mean, she was on Grey's, so I trust that.
She was on Grey's for just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the reason I'm actually excited about it is because I trust the showrunner with my life.
Oh, who's the showrunner?
The showrunner, her name is... I'm like taking it out of my mind.
Take it out. Reach in the folder.
There's an M.
M.
And
pull it
out. I've been following her for years on Twitter, mm-hmm. because she started off as a TV critic.
Oh,
and,
wow.
She really wanted to get into actual, you know, TV writing and stuff, mm-hmm. like that. And she had gotten in really well with a lot of TV showrunners because she reviewed their shows in such an intricate and like really good way. She was a really good critic. So then somebody was like, she was like ready to jump the gun, and she like got her first writing job. Within a couple of years, she went from like writer to producer, and now she's a showrunner. So she's done really, really well. Her name, fucking Karina Adley McKenzie. Sorry, oh, okay. That took me forever.
That is not it. There's one M in there.
She's fairly young for a showrunner, uh-huh. and she's a big girl, so I'm, like, here for that shit.
Representation.
And she's smart, and, like, she's really, like, here for the queer community. And she didn't have to, like, once again, they should have from the start made her a real Latina lead, but she actually went forth and did it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have mixed feelings
Where
about...
Where is Roswell?
New what Mexico. State? New Mexico.
Yeah, so it makes sense for her to be Latina.
Yeah, it does.
Or have more Latinos in it, period.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I trust her for now. Mm-hmm. I think she's woke enough.
Okay, you know, we're used to getting nothing as a queer community. We're used to getting absolute shit. So, hey, if someone is a queer ally, we'll take that shit.
For sure. And a POC ally. So, those are the two. And my last one is a returning one that we actually talked about in our Queers and Circumstances episode. It's The Bold Type.
Yes.
It's coming back. It was kind of weird, its renewal. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember the drama, but, like, after season one, people were, like, worried that it wasn't going to get renewed. And what ended up happening is they replaced the showrunner and renewed it for 2 seasons.
Ooh, drama.
Yeah, so something went down there, but we came back with two seasons, different showrunner, same cast, and they made it the actress who plays Adina, they made her into a regular cast member, like not a part-time, so she's going to be in it a lot more.
Okay, so they know who watches their show.
They know their audience.
They know their audience is a bunch of
They
queers.
Know that Kadena is watching.
Like, Circumstance fans watch the Bold Type. Like,
non-Circumstance, non-Bold Type fans watch the Bold Type and watch See? Circumstance.
There we go.
Or listen to our Queers and Circumstances episode.
Yeah, listen to our Queers and Circumstances. What episode is that, like 5?
No, it's probably like 10. I don't know the exact number.
I don't know either. Just go back to Queers and Circumstances, you guys.
CabronasyChingonas.com, we'll link the episode. The last one, this one is actually one that you're excited about and I recently read up on.
Yes. Okay, so Ryan Murphy, I usually don't fuck with you, but he's apparently making a show with all trans and queer and POC people called Pose. It's going to be on Fox. And how many...
Isn't it FX?
FX?
I don't know, Fox or FX.
Fox or FX?
He usually fucks with FX, so let me look it up real quick.
Yeah, we could look that up.
FX.
FX. Okay, so it's going to be on FX, and it's fucking amazing.
It premieres this Sunday, by the way. Hmm? It premieres this Sunday.
Oh, it premieres this Sunday, you guys. Don't... Look, who wants to watch it? Who wants to let me be at the house to watch it, though?
Listen, like, I was very, like, you can ask Cynthia. I was very, like... reluctant. Mm-hmm. My trust for Ryan Murphy has faded over the years, especially after AHS Cult. Wow. But he kind of took like the back seat in this a little bit. He did direct the first episode, insider info that I got from one of my coworkers that worked on set. But he did let people take people of color and trans people take the lead when it came to casting, when it came to writing, when it came to a lot of really important aspects of this show. So I'm like, yeah, maybe if less Ryan is in it, the better it'll be.
I'm into, like, white men sitting down and listening to people of color and trans women. So
and,
I'm like,
and
this
building
is
a space,
interesting.
Building a space for them yes. to work in. Because and that's what Ryan is, like, learning how to be a good ally. Mm-hmm. And that's, like,
look,
one of the unfortunate parts of call-out culture is that we can
start
never
that way,
forget.
But he's getting there, and that's what matters.
Right. Like, we have to learn to, like... Yeah, we call people out, but then whenever they actually go through with what you tell them, you know, like...
You have to give him that chance, because he actually was... He changed.
Yeah, he got better. He's getting better, so hopefully that part of call-out culture kind of calms the fuck down.
Yeah, everything being problematic, which it is, which all of us are. So
but we can all get better. So that, my friends, is what we're looking forward to this summer.
Yes. And, dude, I read this fucking article on Twitter, therefore it's the truth, okay?
Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
I read one paragraph, so great. Therefore I'm as... what is that? What's that tweet you said? It's like everybody just repeats things they read from a retweet or
it's
something?
And I'm sorry to everybody that's listening to this. This is not at you, but I thought it was really funny, and I posted it on Twitter, but it's basically intelligence these days is just repeating what you heard on a podcast.
Facts, y'all. This was a study done by Vice, therefore science. Okay.
Actually, I just saw it from on the overheard LA Twitter.
Overheard LA Twitter. Yeah. It was like some random study. I don't even know if like it's been peer reviewed by some like journal articles
Probably
yet.
Not.
But it's just saying that there are no longer straight people. Straight people don't exist.
I mean, this is something we already knew.
I mean, me and Liz, you know it. Me and you embrace it. Like everyone's like an Akinzie too. You know, like
everybody's
on
a spectrum.
You know, Kinsey won. You know, like...
I've turned enough people gay to know.
I fucking might. Yeah, both of us have equally... No, Mike has probably done it more than I have. But we... Look, not everybody is straight, okay? And we know this. This is a fact. We are just proving it
Nobody's
out here in the world.
Anyways.
I just wanted to say that. But yeah. So what are we going to get into today?
We're going to get into some really good films. But before that... I want to honor some amazing people that have helped us in this past year.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
In our show.
This is when you cue the, like, you know, the rainbow
the
music.
My Heart Will Go On.
We love y'all.
With Celine Dion. So, one of the people that I want to thank is Brandon. I don't think the fucker listens to the show anymore. But, you know what? Brandon helped out a lot.
We wouldn't be here without him at all.
Well, we would. But he was the reason that we had a place to record at.
That's
so many times. Like, here. We would have been here a lot less without his place of, you know, having his mic stands every now
and then.
His
studio.
And his mixer and all this other shit. So thank you to Brandon, you motherfucker. You helped a lot.
Thank you to Joe. My love, my heart, my best friend.
What's Joe's popping, like, boo? Like a, you know, like a jump start, dude. Like, you know how you jump start cars? That was what Joe was to us. Like, he totally helped us out, like, to start using the software that we use and lets us borrow equipment all the time, like right now.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't want to go through TSA with my mic.
So thank you, Joe. We love you. Thanks for making our audio sound so much better.
Thanks for the bloopers episodes, because you chime in at the funniest times. Thanks for all the shit that you've done, that, you know, totally been supportive, and we hope to support you in your future podcast goals.
We're here for you.
For sure. And I want to thank two organizations, almost, basically, but I want to thank these two people that kind of gave us a listener boost. I know a lot of you listeners came from them. One of these groups was Latinos Who Lunch, we talk about every single fucking day. And then the other half is Yvette from Auto Straddle, who featured us in an article about podcasts. Those two things came really close together, and they totally helped us find our listenership, and that was great. And now we can connect with you guys, and that's really nice. I'm not going to cry.
Tear, don't cry, my dear. I'm going to cry. It's beautiful. Thanks, you guys. No, really. Lives were like, what?
And, of course, I want to thank all of the guests that we've had this past year. I'm going to read out, like, the first few, and then I'm going to let Fred Babila read the rest of them, and we can talk about them as we go. Okay. But our first ever guests were Tony and Cordarian, who are two adorable fellas that have been in my life for a long time, and I love them. Sina Grace, who's was a writer for Iceman and Marvel comics, and
Aaron, I love you, Aaron. Halissa, love you. Thank you, boo. You're the best. And Joe was also one of our. He's in every episode.
He's basically
almost
in a lot of episodes.
He's the guy. He was in that one, ad-libs.
The Steven Universe one.
He's the takeoff of our amigos. Anyways.
And then Favi from Latinos Who Lunch, who was on our show. We want to get Babalito soon, but Favi, like, we had such a good time recording with you.
Come back to Dallas.
That's still one of our most listened to episodes.
Yes, continues to be.
I want to thank Glad, who recommended us to interview Julio Salgado, Chucha, and Pamela Chavez, three queer POC artists in the LA area who
shout out, Glad,
are dope, and also the Bay Area.
And also, we can't forget our Dallas homies, our gang, our clique.
I'm gonna see y'all tonight. We're gonna see them tonight.
We're gonna see them tonight. Be jealous. Shout out to De Colores. We love y'all. Eva, Rafa, and Pat, you guys are the best. Thanks for I've been practicing. And shout out to Viva La Round Girls, like Megan, Kiki, Mandy. I love you guys. Keep recording, please. You guys are gay church. Girls. They come gay on church every Wednesday. Viva La Round Girls. I love you, girls. And then, of course, how could we forget the fucking queen, the fucking boss, La Richardina? What's poppin', boo? Was goody, was litty. He's one of our.
I hope your travels are going well.
Yeah, be safe. Have fun.
John Arrow, who was an amazing time to talk to. We talked like forever, even afterwards, and recommended some really good shit for me. John Arrow's great. Check out TGIF Fan Girls. I'll link it on the website.
It shall be linked, guys.
And of course, finally, our most recent guest.
Oh, my mom. Shout out, mommy. Love you. Even though you told me you weren't going to listen, but you secretly listen anyways. So this is your shout out. Shout out, mama.
Shout out.
Shout out.
And finally, we're going to get into our regularly scheduled episodes before it gets too late.
Yeah. So today.
Ahora.
We're going to cover two really interesting things that we've been wanting to cover this for a minute. It's going to be On My Block and Dope.
Hell yeah, like honestly those two pair together so well. Like if we didn't do them together, I would just like what is even the fucking
what are
point
we
of
are
podcast?
Actually like, here we for like what's failed. Our podcast for like what's the use, you know?
What is the deal
And I love how On My Block is like, I always refer to it as like hood Harry Potter.
Like, oh, that's a good comparison.
Like, Hood Harry Potter, like, there's a treasure, there's a mystery, there's, like, violence, there's a Voldemort, there's, well, there's a Malfoy, there's a Harry, you know, like, everything's there. Like, Dementors are just, like, gangbangers and, like,
gangbangers. And then, I'm really excited to hear about Dope, because you know what? That movie was, like, it's seriously underrated.
Thank you. It's super underrated. And it came out a minute ago, like.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a couple years.
Did you know that Kali Uchis had a song in there?
I didn't, but you mentioned that to me. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah, I was freaking out. Nice. And it came out in 2015. And for it to, like, match so perfectly well with On My Block that just came out, like, ugh. Because both are set in L.A., different hoods in L.A., because one of them's Inglewood. That's where Dope was filmed.
I would.
I would. Over there where Insecure is also filmed. So a lot of those places kind of started to look familiar. But anyways, Dope is a story of, like, three nerdy kids in the hood.
Then they're so fucking cool, too.
They're so cool. They're like, it's like I had always wanted to watch a movie like this. Like, because I grew up in the hood and also was a dork and listened to TV on the radio, which these characters do too, and they're in, like, a punk band. And our Woman Crush Wednesday was one of
Kiersey.
She's also queer in real life. Shout out to Kiersey. She's Diggy.
Okay, guys, we took a little break, I'm gonna be honest. That's a big ass drink that they give you at Whataburger.
Yeah, shout out to Root Beer Forever.
Yes.
No, so there's a character called Diggy who she plays, and it's also a queer character. My only thing about Dope is that they really rely heavily on, like, us believing stereotypes, which are cool, but they're not sometimes, you know, because this is a story about three nerds getting away with basically selling drugs because they are nerds. And I find that to be true about reality as well, because everyone, they assume that everyone has these, like, preconceived notions and stereotypes when you walk in to watch a movie. So you're watching Dope and you're seeing these three characters that are like, to me they don't look like nerds, they look super fucking cool.
Yeah, I was like, there's, like, swag, it's pretty damn, like,
their style.
Like, I could never.
I mean, I was never that cool. I was at the same time,
I didn't have a staff of, like, fashion designers. But.
Right? Like, and I was like, I don't think anyone wearing, like, Jordan 3s is going to get bullied. But, okay, sure.
Right.
Right? So, it relies on the idea that these three nerds, like, are running around selling drugs because they have to. And because, you know, they make a lot of really, how can I say it, like, overt statements that I didn't need either, you know, like, at the beginning he's like, oh, what am I supposed to say, that I'm a poor kid from the hood with a single parent household who makes really good grades and I'm a black kid, like, and it was just very like, okay, we see that, you don't need to state it, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you, like, backtrack a little bit and tell us, like, more in depth, like, about the plot a little bit. Remind me what it's about, because, okay, it's been a
so
while.
The plot. So plot wise, it's about three kids who they get invited to a party at a drug dealer's party where of course gun violence happens. There's a gang
on my block.
Yeah.
On the
exactly.
Nail.
In the hood. Hood and gun violence, they go together. It's kind of a normal thing in the hood. They go to this party, they get shot up. One of the kids ends up having a backpack full of maybe like 2 kilos of MDMA and a gun.
Dang.
And so he starts to get chased by the people who own the drugs originally, slash he's trying to get into Harvard at the same time.
Slash he's trying to get.
Yeah, he's like, I just found 2 kilos of MDMA in my backpack, but I still want to go to Harvard. So he's running around LA trying to get rid of the drugs or sell them and also make it on time to his college interview to go to Harvard. But what he finds out, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Dope, it's old. The same person who's interviewing him and who's an alumni of Harvard is the same person who the drugs belong to.
Yeah.
So he's then sent on a mission to get his money, get me my motherfucking money. And so he goes on to sell drugs on the black market, the Silk Road online, which no longer exists. Well, they took a version of it down. It probably still exists.
I was going to say, like, it's a deep web.
Hackers, you can never really stop them. So it's very millennial. It's very deep webby. It's very, like, Instagram kind of age. It's very Google Science Project. You know, like, it's very, like, now. It's a very 2015 film. And that's one of my favorite things about it. And he has to navigate different parts of LA. He has to navigate the hood / rich kids who perceive him as this kid from the hood who's not going to amount to anything. And, you know, he's like a genius. He's just walking around, like, fact-checking everybody and being kind of, you know, the smart kid who, like, well, you know, he's the... What's that meme? Well, really, he's that guy.
The well, actually.
He's the well, actually guy. But he's, like, very cool and wears J's. So, yeah, that's the whole plot, is he has to somehow make it to Harvard. And everyone was comparing it to, like, John Hughes films, like Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the hood version?
Like, a way more serious Bueller's Day Off.
Yes, it's like... It's like, your day on. It's like, I'm gonna sell drugs, and this is what it's called. I mean, I love it, because it does play into these stereotypes that, like, okay, he's getting bullied, you know, he's getting away with absolutely anything, because he's, you know, no one suspects him. He's literally, like, packaging and selling the drugs at school, using the computer lab, like, accessing the things that they can. He walks through security every day, and security just lets him walk by, and I think that's interesting, but, they really do rely a lot on stereotypes, and there's a lot of familiar faces in here, though. ASAP Rocky's in it, Chanel Amon, Zoe Kravitz.
She's in everything, but I mean, yeah.
Huh?
She's in everything.
She's in absolutely everything, but this is her back in the day. I think this is, like, when she started. And fun fact, Pharrell produced it, and so did Puff Daddy.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was like, cool.
You know what I'm plagued by, dude?
Huh?
You know what I'm plagued by?
What?
Constantly loving the side characters more than the main.
This is the same problem in this. Did you have the same problem?
This fucking movie, I love the two side characters.
Yeah, thank you. And actually, fun things about the side characters is that one of the side characters is actually, he is Guatemalan. He's actually, his family's from Anaheim.
Shout out Central America.
Shout out Central America. And he's, like, been in shit you've seen before, like, Budapest Hotel. He's been in everything, and he's popping. He's still out here. Kiersey Clemons.
Fucking shit, man.
Like,
that
the
was
two side
such
characters.
A refreshing
a black queer character. Woman and a Central American dude. I love it. And he's dark skinned too. He's not, like, light skinned or nothing. Like, he looks Latino.
Yeah.
So,
and he, like, the queer character, the girl, it's Tiggy or Iggy? What is her name?
I want to say it's Diggy.
Diggy.
Diggy, okay.
So, Diggy, it was such a fucking refreshing character. Like, she was, like, you never get to see, really, you don't ever get to see butch representation, period. But when you do, they're older. And this was really cool to see, like, a young, modern version of it. And she was just,
cool,
like, the trillest little kid. And you saw her at the club, and she was, like, with a girl. And you were just, like, yes, queen. Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
They didn't, like, lower it. They didn't make it, like, they made it very obvious. They were like, but
there's
the only
no
thing I found
out.
Kind of annoying is they kept saying, like, oh, if you didn't notice, she's a girl. And I was like, okay,
yeah.
Like,
they need to, I mean, but if you think about it, that's kind of how friends joke around. Like, if, like, me and my closest friends, they'll roast me on, like, everything.
Like, oh, and by the way, she is a girl.
Oh, and by the way, she's wearing a flannel again. Like, I mean, yeah, and then I really like how she kept slapping that one dude for saying the N-word.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. I love,
like,
that.
Let's just, like, all of us just slap anybody who says the N-word unless they're actually black.
Yes. And that's another thing, like, that's still a thing now, is, like, there's a white character in there who's like, but why can't I say the N-word? And you get into the whole, like, Twitter conversation. But this is 2015, before, like, respectability and, like, call-out culture.
It was getting up there, though, at that point.
I liked where it was, though. She just would slap the shit out of him every time he said it.
I love it.
I love that. Like, I think that's the rule in life, is, like, if someone non-black says the N-word, you get slapped.
It's deserved.
Like, you can say it, but you're gonna get slapped. Every single time. Pop, pop.
I don't care what shade of Latino you are.
No,
don't
you cannot
say it.
Unless you're Afro-Latino, then go for it.
Yeah.
But if you're not, then of shut course. The fuck up. Like, it's just not for you. It's not hard. It's like there's a million other things you can say that mean similar things, and you ain't gotta say that.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. I mean, okay, so what else you got for me on this film?
You So, I just want to talk about, like, stereotypes. Like, how I always wanted to watch a movie about a kid from the hood who isn't hood. Because that's, like, us.
I mean, that's kind of what this was.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I always wanted to see that.
So, that was, like, very, like...
Mm-hmm.
dream come true.
Yes, it was wish fulfilling for me because I was like, oh, I'm relating. Yes, we're not like, we're not hood, but like we are, and we don't fit in into other spaces the way that they want us to. Like, they're always going to see us as outsiders, so we kind of have to like own our identity as outsiders. And I really appreciate this very, very niche like audience, this niche like movie, because it's not made for everyone, and it's, these characters aren't everyone, they're just them, and they're just nerds from the hood who, I don't know, to me they're really interesting. And he's just like having to make a decision. Like, there's a scene where it's like, okay, do I walk by the gangbangers or do I like walk by the drug dealers? And he has to make a decision, and I'm like, oh wow, I feel so seen. It's like, oh wow, yeah, do I walk by these people or do I walk by those people? This is my reality. So
this is why I never walk.
Yeah, it was, or like, there's a shit ton of dogs on this street, like, you know. So, or there's a crackhead over there. Do I want to go over the street where the crackheads are? Or do I, you know?
So it's like, yeah, stereotypes, but also same
realities, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, he, there's this really preachy moment at the very end of the movie that I didn't really like. Like, I get it. Like kids from the hood are not supposed to make it. Like, that's, I feel like that's an old assumption and an old stereotype that we're no longer working with in this like modern day society. Like, none of us can get jobs, period. The economy's shitty for everyone, whether, you know, it's just economic disparity, I guess, but like all of us are struggling out here, whether you're from the hood or not. So I felt like that was kind of like a really preachy 90s moment that they tried to convert into the now, you know. And I was like, I don't think anyone of our like age believes that anymore, because I feel, okay, this is my own hot take, because like I feel like this is like the misconception we grew up with in the 90s, because the director is the same guy who made like The Wood. Like, he's a very like early 2000s late 90s kind of director, and maybe this was like his life, because the kid was like, his father was an immigrant, like his father was African, and like his mother drove a bus. And I really liked how humble that was, but I feel like he was working with stereotypes that are kind of like not completely dismantled now, but they're not like,
like not, our problem now is more like people talking about how we only got like our, how far we got, even because people felt bad for us and did, yeah, like, you know what I mean, like that's more of
like
our,
like we're
issue
the
now.
Token diversity person,
right? Like that's become kind of our thing,
versus like, like, we're allowed in the room, yeah, now, just, like, there can only be one of us. Mm-hmm. Like, but this is not him. Like, he's still operating under these notions of the 90s, which I get it. Like, a lot of it is, like, a call, like, a throwback to, like, okay, what if it was boys in the hood, but they were all nerds, you know? And, like, how would they make it? How would that look? And that's what they made. And, I don't know, I was into it. I fucked with it. I love dope, and I love that those stereotypes were there, because it, again, it's our reality. Like, we are the nerds from the hood that like punk music don't really fit in. And so I think just for that, my own personal wish fulfillment of seeing a movie, I mean, okay, it wasn't a queer lady lead, but I did see a queer lady who was butch, a soft butch, and she was proud and gave no fucks.
She was a badass,
slapping fucking white boys,
yeah,
who deserved the slap. So just for that alone, I think I'd give it like 4.5 conchas, just because it's like the boys in the hood that wasn't like tragic, you know? Like, spoiler alert, this shit wasn't tragic. There is gun violence, yes, but it wasn't tragic. There was even a scene that I think was like a callback to like NWA, where like this drug dealer gets on the bus and is looking for one of the main characters. And I think someone in like NWA did the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. Some drug dealer jumped on the bus and like threatened everybody. Like, I don't know. Violence being seen as normal versus, like, you know, like in the hood, violence isn't normal, but like you do see it. Whether it's happening to you or not, it is present. And so even them showing that violence was, I believe, necessary. But, one more thing that I really liked is that the dialogue, anytime that there's like side dialogue going on, it's very Quentin Tarantino. They're mm-hmm. having like an existential conversation about like drones and like Obama and like war. And it was a bunch of drug dealers in one scene talking about like, oh, well, you know, I think Obama's like the shit because he drops drones on people. And then ASAP Rocky's like, but humanity. And the irony is that they're all selling drugs and all have guns on them, and they're all like talking about kilos like in the next 20 seconds. So it's very like Quentin Tarantino, let's have deep conversations about like existential existence and meaning of our lives.
While I mean, that's kind of a cool thing to do because it's very extreme in those cases, but like us talking shit, you know, an average person talking shit about, I don't know, like how high the prices are on these groceries, but then like at the same time they completely ignore the fact that like people are suffering to get you those groceries.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it's kind of like that, the scale is just widened. But yeah, so that's kind of real life.
Yeah, it's real life, but I really enjoyed that. So four to four and a half pan dulces for it. I love it. Y'all should go watch it.
It's on Netflix still, right?
I don't know if it's still on Netflix. I bought it when it came out, so
okay,
find it on the internet.
It was on Netflix.
It was for a minute, but so I don't want to guarantee.
Do your Googles, guys.
Is.
Once again, we'll post a link on cabronazichinas.com on where the fuck it is.
Yes, we shall. But yeah, so I'm super excited to hear your hot take on All My Block.
For sure. Before that, we'll say on dope, I would give it a 0.5 of a cafecito.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because I kind of am tired of like the only time we can be the leads or really be like super important or like prove a point in movies or TV shows is when we're like over the top spectacular going to Harvard type of people.
Yeah,
like some of us are just like above average, you know. Like let us just be above average and just like make it to university.
Where is the Latina Lady Bird mediocre Latina girl? Come on,
I want some more, not even mediocre, just like above average, you know what I mean? Like we don't have to be exceptional to be accepted.
Facts.
So
that's when I said like I didn't like some of the stereotypes, some of that like preachy bullshit at the end. I wasn't so into.
I recently retweeted something where this girl had posted like I graduated with a 2.5 GPA because I fucking had a a full-time job the whole time, and I was just like, you know what, I've never related to a tweet so much in my fucking life. Yeah. Shout out to my 2.5 GPA.
So, because I had to work. We
so
worked
let's
our way
be
through college.
Fucking average. I'm gonna write some average ass pilots. Okay. Now let's get into On My Block. Now those kids are a lot more average.
Yes, they are. But I think that's what's so relatable and amazing about them.
Yeah, they're really, really great. On My Block, it just came out this year on Netflix, 2018. If you're listening in 2019, if we're still around, I don't know. But it was created by Lauren Jungerich.
Oh, Jungerich.
Sure.
Yeah.
And she she did Awkward. And then Eddie Gonzalez was a writer on Empire. He also worked on this. And Jeremy Haft, I don't know anything about him. Its technical description is like it's a comedy. Sorry, not. It's a comedy coming of age story set in like the gritty inner city of South Central LA.
Gritty inner city.
So that's just like a very technical way of looking at this. Basically, the four leads are four different shades of brown, my guy. And they actually look like teenagers. So that's really cool.
They're not 25.
They're not 25, playing 16. And the opening scene is basically, like, they do a walkthrough of this high school party. And you have everything. You have your stoners, you have your drunks, you have your sexually active people. And then you see these kids on the other side of the fence looking in at the party. Yeah. And they're, like, watching it, and they're like, this is going to be our future, because they're about to be in high school. And this is what they want. They want to be a part of this shit. So, this one and then the following scene, they take place at the beginning of the summer, but most of the show itself takes place after the summer, during their freshman year. So, the dilemma of the first episode is basically about their friend group falling apart after Caesar, who's, like, this light-skinned guy from a family of gangbangers. He pisses off the two other guys in the group. And Ruby, who is a fave.
Ruby!
And Jamal, who is, like, technically the nerd, but, you know, he's still a badass. He basically, what becomes the center of the story later on is Caesar trying to disassociate with the Santos, who is the gang that his family is affiliated with. And that's that happens after his brother is released early from prison. And
Ghost. Or no, little Spooky.
Spooky. He's Spooky, yeah. And so Caesar and the only girl in the group, Monse, their stories get intertwined because, you know, you have to have a romance or whatever.
Yeah.
And like you also get a side of Monse trying to figure out some stuff about her mom. So that's a really good storyline. I love that storyline. There's love triangles, but what's different about this show is they don't like really try to pit the girls against each other, and that's pretty something that happens really frequently, but in this case, like, they didn't get pitted against each other. They were all just pissed at Caesar.
It wasn't really like a love triangle. It was like a friend triangle.
Well, there was a love triangle.
But like...
Olivia.
Yeah, but there was no beef between the girls.
That's like, what I'm saying. But it's still a love triangle. It's just the beef is like against Caesar.
Gotcha.
God, I had to cut that out though. I don't want to spoil that. But basically, yeah, there's a love triangle and I'm really excited that it's not like the girl being mad at the other girl because the guy's being a fucking douchebag. So...
That's but was he being a douchebag or was Monse just being hard?
I mean, this...
Hard-headed.
He still kissed her, alright? But yeah, they're basically, like, it's just a different, like, type of love triangle. So even though I don't normally like that kind of stuff, they make it pretty interesting. Then Jamal's main storyline is probably the funniest because he goes on an adventure to try to find treasure. Yes! Even though, as Monse says, only white kids find treasure. He's really fucking cool.
Facts. No.
Ruby's storyline. Ruby is a boy, by the way. It revolves around his new roommate, Olivia. So her parents were deported and she had to move in with his family. So he decides, because he's into her and feels bad, to throw her a quinceañera.
Oh my God.
Ruby. So controversy number one of this show.
Yes. Tell it, girl.
Leading right back into it. So the actress who plays Olivia, she's basically a white girl who celebrated Trump getting elected. So for a number of reasons, like, her playing a character who's like suffering from the loss of her parents to the shit fucks that are ICE, like, it's fucked up. So people they're hoping for a recast or, you know, some other alternative
I haven't seen her too much in the press
Well, I mean, that's for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's, I'm not going to get into spoilery as to like the other options that they have here, but people are basically like, this actress needs to not come back to this show.
Facts.
Plain and simple. I don't know what they've gone forward with. I'm really hoping that they follow through that because it's fucked.
I'm okay with them.
It's against everything to get her back, you know what I mean? So we'll see what they do. The second controversy, which really is just like a fucked up comment that they have during the show that I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. It's not like the biggest thing, but it's just like one line, which it was basically referring to burqas as like a negative and oppressive garment, which for me, like, it boils down to like simply respecting other religions and cultures, like, as long as they aren't hurting you, and a burqa's not fucking hurting you.
Yeah.
And as long as they're not like... you know, they're wearing it by choice, then don't worry about it.
It's
no
one's business. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't, like, you know, don't refer to it that way. It's like not your shit. So that's all I've got to say about that. The third controversy isn't really much of a controversy. It's just like we were kind of talking about earlier. Like, why is it that people, for us, like, as brown people to get a show, why do we have to be stereotyped as poor and gangbangers and shit like that? Not that it's not a reality for some of us, you know, I mean, like, we have a lot of different stories to tell within that aspects or whatever, you know, like, society does push us down below.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the general controversy. It's just like, whenever you get four brown leads, it's because it's set in the inner city, gritty South Central Los Angeles.
I mean, I also don't want to see, like, suburban kids doing shit, because I'm tired of suburban kids doing anything. Very and, like, true. Like 13 Reasons or One Reason Why or whatever. Like, that shit pisses me off. I don't care if you're brown, green, or orange. Suburban kids being boring really is fucking irking the fuck out of me.
Right. There's, like, two sides to it, right? Like, it's important to tell the stories like this, because despite Trump girl, like, the deportation and the fear of it, you know, it's, like, it's not nothing. And then, like, especially recently, the fucking separation of kids from their parents, like, it's fucked up. And, like, they try to bring joy into that character's life. Specifically, Ruby tried to bring joy into her life. And I think that's really important. Like, hashtag on DocuJoy, you know what I mean? Like, if you guys have seen that, that's, like, it's super important. So that kind of goes across the board with all these stories. We try to bring joy to all of the storylines, despite the fact that it's about struggling at the end of the day. And, like, that's freaking dope. So, I mean, sure, like, we're not all lower middle class and we can't easily recognize what like the gunshots are, like, what calibers.
Oh, but I know you, like, can. That's a hood thing that I found. Me and Joe both felt very seen. Like, yeah. I was like, whoa, I do that too every New Year's.
It me.
It me. Yeah, like, I'm like, that's a 45, that's a 50 cal, time to hide. You know, like,
Right. So that's the flip side of it. Like, I can't say that I would relate to some, like, rich and successful Latinx super, like, that's not relatable. Like,
Vito.
At the same time. What did you say?
Vito?
They're not rich. They're not.
The sister.
She's not rich. She's just has a job. Anyways. At the very least, like, representation for Latinx. Anyway, the representation for Latinx, it was front and center. Like, instead of some, like, singular beige kid among a dozen white people, like, 13 Reasons Why.
They had an Afro-Latina lead. Like, yeah. That's lit.
For sure. And, yeah, so that's what I liked about it. Like, we don't normally, like, get shows like this. And, yeah, like, it's set in, like you say, like, a stereotypical place. But they tell such important stories, and they bring joy into those stories. And if you're going to do it that way.
Yeah, they're subverting the stereotypes. Whereas when Dope was embracing every single fucking stereotype of a nerd versus a gangbanger, like, this one was, like, subverting all of them. It's saying, we're going to be carefree and brown. And, of course, they have to have good... Like, I don't know what it is about the hood and violence that they always have to include it. Like, always, and I don't think that's something that you always have to do is show, you know, people of color and violence together, you know, like...
Mosquita and Maddie, take notes.
I'm like, why can't we just be, like, kind of boring sometimes? Like, I don't want to see brown people be shot anymore, or anyone, well, I especially don't want to see brown people or black people get shot, so that's kind of my only, like, qualm, and mm-hmm. that's about everything, but, you know, I guess they're just trying to make it drama, but, like... I don't know. I see a lot of CBS shows of white people, and they don't get fucking shot. You know, like...
Not unless they're gay.
Or not unless they're gay, then they get fucking killed off. But, like, you know, you watch fucking shows about cops, and those motherfuckers are never shot at. I'm really confused. But these little brown kids, like, let's normalize them getting shot at. Like, you're like, shit, that's kind of triggering. It's kind of fucked up. Like, is that what they think of us? Like,
yeah.
That we're getting shot every day? I'm like, look,
honey. That's what they think.
But, I mean, but at the same time, like, yeah, I did witness a murder, so.
Girl. That took a turn.
Yeah, so I'm like, but at the same time, like, yeah, so.
So, I mean, like, they do have those two, for me, it's those two major things, which is Trump girl, let's get rid of her.
Let's get rid of her.
And that little comment that, you know, we need to support other POCs and other cultures because they get beat down just like we do. Other than those two little things, you know, I'm pushing myself to be the kind of person that lets people redeem themselves, so I'm hoping that's what this show does. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty hopeful. They've been renewed for a second season, like you said. There've been a little bit of press. It's Netflix, so it'll probably be quite a few months. You have some time to catch up. Binge it on Netflix, dude. It's pretty good. It's a really easy binge.
But would you how many cafecitos would you give it?
I would say none, quite honestly. I've told you guys my dings. It just doesn't equal a half cafecito.
I understand. I think, like, I'd give it, like, four pan dulces for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because there isn't, like, too many queer people in there, but, like, I feel really seen when they start naming out the gunshots and them doing, like, nerdy shit and, like, going on scavenger hunts. And it's, like, Hood Harry Potter, so I was like, fuck yes. Like,
yeah.
I'm Ruby, you know?
Ruby's fantastic. Like, at first I was kind of annoyed, but then I was just like...
This anxious kid is me.
He's so, yeah, like, he was great.
I love Ruby.
So,
but
yeah.
So, I don't know, shit, like, these two things are pretty epic, and they definitely go together, and I hope more people watch on my blog, and more people watch Dope, and they keep creating things like this, and keep subverting stereotypes, and, you know.
If you think about it, if you had mixed the two, that'd be perfect. So it'd be like on my block with like a little more sensitivity,
mm-hmm.
and with a queer girl. That would Thank be you. The perfect show.
They're both like.
Hay que mezclar, because that's
shit. Mezclar, yeah. It's like, si tienen una mezcla de, like, would it be like Dope Blocks? Like.
You and your mashup names, man, they're always. I can't. Dope Blocks?
Dope Blocks.
No.
On my dope?
Not that. Okay, anyways.
Name that gunshot.
No. God, I'm like, I'm not looking forward to naming this episode. God, I'm going to have an aneurysm.
I'm basically just going to do what I did right now and just name out, like, different versions of what I
and
just
I'm
going to
be like, so let's think deeper.
And I'm like, no, surface. No.
No, dope. So, yeah. I do want to tease a few of our, that's the end of the show, by the way, but I do want to tease a few of the episodes that are coming up. We're obviously gonna like go really fucking hard while I'm here and get as many live recordings. Yes. So next week our episode is going to be on Patreon only, so, and that's going to be a really good one. I think it's going to be really fun. We're shooting the shit. We're going to be talking about fucking music. We're going to be talking about Veronica Mars, and we're going to talk about top 10 queer characters, a lot of really fun stuff that are
Disney's current queer characters.
Yeah, a lot of our stuff that our patrons currently want us to talk about, because we take their advice because they're awesome. And so that's patreon.com/CYC podcast. It's cheap as fuck.
Yes, y'all. Just what are the levels like? What, $1?
$1, $3, and then there's like a $10 one that you don't have to get at all. Like, just go for the three.
Just go for the three, y'all. Help out. Help some sisters pay for their website.
Their hosting site. Yeah. And like, even if you don't want to do that, totally understandable. I'm completely fine with it.
You go can leave just us a cash review. App either one of us.
No, you don't have to do that either. But you can leave us a very free review on iTunes or on Stitcher. And you can listen to us on Spotify now. So do that.
Listen to us on Spotify. Get and that, then, you know, good shit so you don't hear commercials and just listen to us.
Yeah. And then follow us on all the social media. We're at CYC Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. We're at facebook.com/CYC Pod. We are on Snapchat. We never use that though, so you know.
Yeah.
Mostly, like, our Patreon is going to be a good place, and our website is going to be a great place if you want to hear or see links to specific stuff that we mentioned in the episode. And if you want us to add anything, you can DM us, you can mention us on any of those platforms. We'll add it to the website, or we'll send it to you directly, or both. What's your personal?
My personal is at Fried Papita on Twitter. And what's yours?
MYTE Panda on Twitter. Twitter only, my guys, because, you know.
Because that's where we actually get in contact with y'all.
That's where we actually do shit.
We want to see y'all's tweets.
I'm always on CYC Podcast Instagram, though. That's basically my Instagram.
Yeah, that's basically hers, and I'm basically on the Twitter account all the time. So,
yeah. Well, hopefully you guys liked our kind of 1 year anniversary episode.
Hey, what's up?
And I hope that you guys are ready for a year two, and I hope that you stick with us and tell us what you like.
Tell your friends.
This is a relationship. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. How do you want me to treat you? What is your love language? You know.
What is your love language? I prefer gifts. Anyways, in the form of money, in the form of pain for our podcast. We love you. You're beautiful.
Meet us in Deep Ellum, specifically Dada, specifically the places right around it, this Saturday night, which is June 2nd, I think. I'm here in Dallas for just a few days. Jump in the DMs and
come kick it with us.
Yeah, come chill. All right,
this is it.
Happy gay anniversary.
Hey.
Gay.